It's the Hidden Bieber New, this time with Sarah Perez, Robert Murray, Caleb Elston, and Liz Money. Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. It's the Social Geeks episode. You know, I'm looking. 38. We suck. 38. We're a little bit light this week because we got people bouncing in and out. But I have, amazingly, back from the great beyond, Caleb Elston. Caleb, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
We're amazingly well. We're back. And then one of the highlights of our past episodes is he's had so much fanfare and feedback. Robert Murray.
Really?
You did.
Somehow I'm not getting any of that.
Well, it's not directed to you. It comes straight to me, just so you know. I didn't know you wanted me to forward it. Otherwise, I would have done that for you.
Yeah, please, please. I expect a mailman to show up with a big package for me this week.
It's all digital. If you see a mailman, it's not from me.
Man.
All right, so we had Wayne in a minute ago, but he's having bad 3G signal, so we'll wait for him. But otherwise, plenty of news, plenty of stuff out there. And you know what? Robert, we'll do yours first since you brought up the hot topic, the timelines.
Yeah. I'm very fascinated by this. Of course, since I'm a developer, I've been playing around with it since day one. And just kind of looking at the feedback that people are giving me, I think it's amazing that you can say, well, I broke my arm when I was six, post a picture of that and stick it on your timeline somewhere and everybody will know, you know. Obviously, there's some privacy concerns, as there always is with anything Facebook changes. But I think at the end of the day, everybody's going to see it and just going to love it.
Which part are you referring to the most?
The timeline specifically.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Most everybody knows by now, and this is where we get to have our fun, is that, you know, the UI change, it's all over the feeds. It's on all of our listeners know by now, I'd hope. The UI is broken into pieces now in a way, too, when we talk about it. There's the main top story area, right? And then the right side has the weird little updates flying across everywhere. Ticker. Yeah, the ticker's there. And then you're talking about also now the ability to go back and see tons of stuff, right?
Right. You can go year by year. It'll tell you, you know, how many people you friended on a monthly basis or on a yearly basis. So you could say, oh, 2009, I friended, you know, 102 people. And what's funny was when I was looking at mine, I had a friend, let's call her a friend, that I friended and unfriended 3 years successively. So she showed up every year, you know, her face was like, oh, you friended this person again. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Okay, so let me ask this. Is it bad that people are seeing who you friend, or are you more worried about it doesn't show unfriending.
No, it doesn't show unfriending, but, I mean, you can to some extent.
That would be hot if it showed unfriending.
Well, people are asking for that. I don't think it's ever going to happen, though.
No, I don't think it should happen, because that's the whole point of having people just be able to, say, ignore where they see your public status but not anything else about you, right?
Right.
That's the whole point. What about you, Caleb? Have you played with the timeline?
I have. I think the timeline is going to be a much bigger deal than people think, because it shows that, you know, the profile was one of the least used products on Facebook for me, because for my own profile, I would rarely update it. You know, I look at my music and movies and topics in there, and they're really out of date. And to go in and just change them, it's like, I don't feel like I'm getting much value out of that. And I don't think other people really get too much value out of just seeing one bulk update. And when I look at someone else's profile, I know it's probably out of date. And so I tend not to use that very much, right? You use the wall product, you use a photo product. And what Facebook did with Timeline is made it so that exploring your own profile is actually quite interesting. But even more so, looking at someone else's profile now, especially people you care about, is really sort of amazing, because you can just get a much more visceral feel for what's been going on with them. And especially if someone you've interacted with or done things with in the past, to be able to scroll back and see that in June you went to the beach with them and see some of those photos and see some of those status updates, it really provides a lot more context for the things that you've done. And, you know, for me, where I've been on Facebook for now 7 years, I have a lot of stuff in there. And it was just really, it's actually still really fun exploring that and sort of curating what I want to show off. And I just can't wait to see, you know, the majority of people who are not developers have this enabled in the coming weeks. So I think it's great. And, you know, it's sort of taken scrapbooking and looking through photo albums and that experience of sort of nostalgia and made it something that Facebook, something that happens on Facebook. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I don't think many people were expecting that was the direction Facebook would go.
Right. And while you were talking, we drug in Liz, who is apparently fumbling everything on her computer at this moment in time. What are you doing? There you are. So everyone knows Liz. Everyone say hello. She's back to join us for another episode. All right. So Liz, you'll just have to listen for 2 seconds. So as we're talking about the timeline. We'll get you back to the intros. We'll get her opinion. So I didn't enable the timeline yet on my profile. I've been waiting, plus I wanted to screencast like normal, but to walk through so everyone understood what they were getting. What I'm finding is the biggest complaint that people have is they don't understand what's going to be shown. Meaning they understand the look and feel of the whole thing, but people aren't understanding the grasp of what this will do besides give me a pretty new look and feel to my profile. And the general population, they have no clue.
No. Well, Facebook never makes it easy to understand.
They're not supposed to at all. Now, Caleb, you enabled yours. Did you change any security settings?
I didn't change any security settings, but I did remove some things from my timeline. So what if they follow the same path that they did for developers, they basically had a banner on the top of your profile saying, here's the timeline, and you can make some adjustments and then push publish. And I would expect they'd give people some period of time, maybe a week, 2 weeks, before they force them to show the timeline and remove their old profile. But pretty much what shows up is anything that had been shared out and would have shown up on someone's newsfeed or anything someone could have liked or commented on will show up. And so any time you've liked something, added a movie, added a music, added an interest, those will all show up. And they've now added a bunch more objects like Robert was talking about, of breaking a bone or these other life events that might not have occurred during your time using Facebook previously, but happened before you started using it. And so for a lot of users, there's decades where there's no Facebook content yet. And so what's cool too is they allow you to take a photo, for instance, and tag it with a year so that, you know, a baby photo won't show up in August 2011 when you uploaded it. It could show up in, you know, 1970 or 1980 or, you know, whenever you were a baby. So that's kind of cool. So you can actually, if you are sort of the type to organize your profile and really take control of it, you can put photos or any object in the correct time space.
One thing I found as I was scrolling through the help page at the bottom of it, I didn't even know this was there because I never went all the way down the page, is it'll show you all your recent friends that have signed up for the service as well, which is very interesting to me. So it's telling me, Caleb, there's your face smiling at right at me, showing that you signed up for it as well on here.
Yep. So that's on their sort of marketing page about timeline if you want to opt in. And yeah, it's that face pile widget that they allow developers to use as well. So they're using it to get people to try it out early.
Robert, have you put this thing on yours yet? I don't even want to look. Have you turned yours on?
Oh yeah, mine has been on since day one, and I've been playing around with it quite a bit actually. What I do like about it is what Caleb was mentioning, how you can shift things around in time space. Like I had photos that were uploaded recently, but they're 2 years old.
Right.
So the fact that I could group those and shift them down into the right time space, it's brilliant, I think.
Now, are you loading photos directly into Facebook, or are you loading them to like Flickr and then bringing them back?
I'm loading – these are photos that were loaded directly into Facebook, actually photos that someone else took that I was tagged in, and you can still shift them down. So I think that's great because we all want to kind of have things in the right order. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, when the announcement was made, and it's probably clear now, but it wasn't to me when they made the announcement, was I thought timeline was just another view on information that was, you know, this is a different product. It'd be a different tab that says timeline on the left, and you can look at it. It completely replaces your profile.
Yep.
So, you know, everyone will have one of these, and your profile is now your timeline. So profile equals timeline. Just like that, that was a really big realization when I actually enabled it, and it wasn't an option. It's not a switch. Everyone will have one of these. And so, yeah, it's a really big, big deal. And now that they have, which I think was the next thing we talked about, is so many more things being shared and types of things being shared, the timeline metaphor makes a lot more sense, because just a wall post won't encapsulate a lot of the types of things you'd want to share or display on your timeline going forward.
Can you opt out once you go in? Can you go back?
I think you might be able to for now, but I think they're going to be pretty aggressive at switching people over really quickly when they when they start rolling it out. I would doubt in a few months you'd be able to see anyone on the old profiles.
Did Liz switch? Did you go across yet?
I have not. I don't have the...
You don't have Facebook?
I don't have the option yet. I haven't gotten that.
You know, you don't even have Facebook. You're one of those people, right? I'm sure that exists. Well, you can. No, everyone, I believe, can publicly go to facebook.com/timeline. You don't have to even get the invite. You can just do it.
So, as of right now, the people who can get it are people who have created a developer who've created an app, and anyone could do that, and gone through the process of enabling one of their apps for the new Open Graph. APIs. So once you've done that, they say, okay, well, to test your new Open Graph API app, you need the timeline, and so that's why you get it. And so a lot of people have just been making a dummy app that says blah and just go through the steps of creating it. And you don't have to write a piece of code at all. You just go through their wizard, and you'll end up getting the little dialogue. So that's the hack, with air quotes around it, to get the timeline today.
I just went to it, and the darn thing said, sign me up.
It does say sign me up.
Is yours visible now, though?
I'm not clicking it yet. I'm not dumb. I haven't cleaned up my timeline, because I don't want to know when Robert was my friend. Okay. I don't want anybody to know when I was friends with Caleb. No, I haven't. I didn't click through yet, because actually I want to know, you know, what's going to change before I do it. So
I see.
That's one of the big deals. So there was another part to it, and a lot of people have asked how to do it. You can actually get rid of certain things on the new UI as well, like the right-hand little widget thing that runs all day, the status updater. You can get rid of that, correct? I've seen a post on it. Someone said you could. I've been trying to get rid of a bunch of this junk because it's driving me
crazy. That would be awesome.
Oh, then we need to talk about that. Well, you know what? Continue on with the timeline, and I will find the post, and we can reference it for everybody. What's that thing called on the right? Is that the status updater thing or?
Ticker.
Ticker. Ticker.
Thank you. Okay. On we go. What else did you have on it, Robert, on the new interface?
Well, I'm really loving this music integration, this Open Graph stuff with Spotify specifically, because that's the one I've been using a lot. The way that it actually groups, you know, it integrates into your timeline as well. So I could tell this month what songs I've been listening to, which is kind of interesting. But I've also, just because I'm seeing what other people are listening to, I've probably consumed more new music in the last few days than I have in a prior month or two, which I think is pretty interesting because I consume a lot of music.
Okay. I find it a little noisy in my timeline because everyone's on Spotify and everything, but it is good. I've subscribed to a lot of people's music groups, so... But it's just the big flood, you know, whenever Facebook rolls something out and then everybody it's the hump of the flood. So right now it's a lot of noise in my timeline, but it is a good integration. I agree.
Very nice. Go ahead.
I think the big shift that the Spotify and RDO and a few of these other apps, but the music has certainly been dominating the ticker. And the big reason is that people listen to music all throughout the day in the background, and yet every one of those tracks is automatically being shared. Right. And I think what people are still wrestling with is, what does the definition of share mean in a world when everything you do is automatically posted? You know, just a few weeks ago, people thought of sharing as, well, I make a conscious decision whether or not to fill this in or click the allow button or click the publish to my wall. And Facebook has signaled very clearly that they believe that it's now time for people to share and developers to decide to share as much as possible, and you basically click allow once, right? You're not actively saying, I want to share that I'm listening to Stealing Dan right now or the latest Lady Gaga album. It automatically shares it. I mean, last night I had music running and I fell asleep to it by accident on my computer on RDO, and I woke up this morning and it said I'd listened to Dave Brubeck's Take 5 30 times because it was on repeat. And, you know, I go back and look at my timeline and like from 10 p.m. all the way going, it was just running. And so there are going to be some hiccups, but it's really interesting to think what happens in the next couple months when more developers get on the bandwagon and not only music is being shown, but all of like your pedometer, right? Like what happened when Fitbit publishes every step? Oh, Caleb took a step. Caleb took a step. Caleb hit, you know, half a mile. It's going to be really interesting, and Facebook's going to have a lot more work to do on algorithmically not making it spammy.
Gotcha. I found the ticker thing to bring everybody back. I know that's going to drive everybody nuts. But it is a Chrome extension, there's a Firefox extension, and then there's the AdBlock Plus. All of them will hide the ticker for you. If you're using Chrome, there's just a built-in extension on the download in the store, which we'll put in the notes. I'll actually link to it. And then apparently you can also run AdBlock Plus, which will actually hide the ticker for you as well. So if people are really tired of it, it's possible to do apparently for now. But no way inside of Facebook to do it. It's all, you know, add-ons. But well, okay. Yeah, with the new timeline, it won't make a difference anyway at this point. I don't think it's going to make a difference. Everything, you know, the top story thing they're doing, all the changes they've been doing, I don't pay as much attention as I did. I look for particular things and I move on. I don't even go into it halfway near the time I used to anymore. And it's not because of Google Plus. It's just because I'm not finding any value anymore in the way they're building the story list.
Exactly. I've become really dormant on Facebook because it's just not making sense. And these like intermediate changes before the timeline, I mean, a lot of my preferences, my privacy preferences were wiped. Like my status updates, I had a custom, you know, who gets to see them. And just today I got on and I realized, oh, they wiped all that. So, like, you know, it's... I'll wait till timeline is fully integrated and the big rollout before, because all these little intermediate changes are super confusing and it's just really noisy right now.
Well, that solved it. So I think we solved the whole thing for everybody involved. Robert, yeah. was there another area, Robert, before we jump off Facebook? Was there somewhere else on here?
Well, I agree with Liz. I think they made a bunch of changes leading up to this F8 announcement.
Yep.
And certainly the shift in lists, because I had like 20 lists set up,
and I was
sharing things to only specific people, and the shift in lists to be more of like a Google Plus style, where you can share to a specific list, it kind of does away with a lot of the lists that I had, because now you have. They've created a few lists for you, like close friends, and you see all of their updates, or you can.
Yeah.
But
you can manipulate and use them still, right? You can still use them for. You can still use your lists or make new ones, right? So
yeah, but you got to start all over, and it's already a tedious task.
No. But there's a built-in merge ability. You can actually move and merge the list together automatically.
Right.
So there's no like you have two clicks. I understand that, but and how many lists did you guys have? I had, I think, maybe 8 or 10.
I had about 15.
Okay.
I'm 15 to 20.
Caleb, did you have lists?
One.
It's everybody? You just had everybody?
No. I had a list of people I really know.
Okay.
Okay, that's yeah. Funny. And like I put things on lock all the way down to which photo albums, like which groups could see, which lists could see that. So
that explains it all.
Yep.
So do I. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things that I don't want to get to. For instance, my photos of my kid, I don't want people I'm doing business to see those.
Exactly.
Okay. So that makes sense for all of you now. Why I don't see any pictures or any lists or I don't see anything. So that all makes sense. Appreciate it from every one of you at this point. I appreciate it.
I'm pretty open. I've moved more of the stuff public and so far it's been good. The weird thing recently has been the number of people subscribing who I don't even know at all, and I sort of have the same feeling on Google Plus. Like since Google Plus is open, I've been getting hundreds of people following me, and it's weird because on Twitter it seems fine and normal. Like, you get excited when someone follows you. And on Facebook, I'm like, who are you? Why are you following me? It's just so different because I've always expected to see someone I know friend me. So, like, that expectation is so different that I think this is why people overestimate the ability for an existing service to that's bigger to crush a small service. Is like you weren't expecting that. Users weren't expecting people to subscribe to them and see their full names and things. So correct. I just don't, and I can't share to just my subscribers. So it's just a very strange thing. I think the subscribers is probably the weakest of all the things they've done recently, in my opinion, because I just don't understand what value it really brings and how you're supposed to really interact with it. Like, following a couple of celebrities on Facebook's okay, but people, like, I don't know. It's weird.
It is. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
I haven't followed much of anybody, subscribed, I should say, to most anybody. If you're not a friend, I don't want your stuff in my timeline.
Exactly.
Just the way it is. And then I've been honestly trimming up the friend list again. I'd probably go on a wave every few months and get rid of people. You guys do that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with both of you guys. I think the subscribe thing is kind of strange for Facebook. And I'm having the same experience. I have people subscribing to me that I've never seen before in my life. And I've always felt like Facebook is kind of that place where, you know, these are familiar people. These are familiar faces. And, you know, basically everybody who I'm friends with on Facebook is somebody that I've met face to face.
Well, and one last piece about that is from what I've read and what I've seen it happen is if you post something even mobily or from the web as, let's say, public so everyone could see it and forget, it saves that default. Your default is the last posting, not a default that's always set. Does that make sense?
Right.
For those that, you know, are trying to pay attention from the distance, meaning if you set it, there's no setting somewhere in your privacy policy say everything should be private unless I specifically say so. It's whatever I last did, and that really sucks.
That sucks because I mean the dynamic has changed now because yes, I agree that like Facebook was a little more intimate. That's and versus Twitter where it's just broadcast, you know, outbound, and there's supposed to be a little more intimacy in Facebook and privacy, and the subscribe feature, you know, kind of blows that out of the water.
It takes a lot for everyone listening that follows us. It takes a lot to be our friend.
apparently.
So that's why
I have a public page.
Right. You have a public page. I do. I have a public page. You know, that's I've made a public one. If you want to totally, you know, follow everything I'm doing on the public side, I just made a public page. Everything else is always private. And if you're not in the list, you're not going to see it. And that's just the way it has to be. So no big deal there. All right. We're going to be moving on.
Moving on.
So one I wanted to cover, and then I know Caleb probably has a list of stuff too, but we can do it quickly, like a 5-minute thing for all I care. But the recent uprising of all these reputation type services that you're so worried about being ranked on, from Empire Avenue to Clout to the new Geek List, which is geekli.st, I believe it is.
Yes.
Do you guys believe in the value
LST.
Of
Geek
what is it?
No, there's no vowels.
Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. I forgot. We don't do vowels in any country, any of these anymore. But
no.
Caleb, where are you going outside? Where's Caleb going? Do you
That's
guys
so nice.
Find value in any of these scores, or do you care about them? Or you know, go for
no.
it. No.
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, that was a quick conversation. I appreciate everyone for coming.
And here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. This is for me.
Yes.
Okay, I have a pretty high Clout score.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy. What is it, Liz? Share with us.
69. I know, the joke's right itself.
No, I know. We're not. Go ahead.
And even though I have a higher score, like I have a pretty high score, and I have a, you know, I have a good categorization with Clout, and I've been with Clout since Jump,
mm-hmm.
when they started Clout Perks.
Yes.
People who were, you know, like, 20s and 40s were getting the perks, and like I wasn't, and I'm not being like pouty girl about it, but it doesn't make sense. Like, if the whole thing is your Clout score, you earn these perks because you invest your time in your social media, then okay, but like it just seemed very arbitrary. And like, why don't I qualify for the perks when it's freaking deodorant? like, why am I excluded for it? Because, like, everyone could use some deodorant, you know?
You're fresh.
Exactly. You know? So, like, the subway thing, like, I was locked out of the subway thing. So, it just got ridiculous. And before Clout, and granted, before Clout Perks was Clout Perks, they did send me some stuff before.
Sure.
Because, for whatever reason, because I was there, so I was early adopter. And that was cool. But, like, when... It just seems very arbitrary and very, I don't understand it. So obviously if someone has a large, a higher Clout score, but they don't get the Clout perks, then, you know, it undermines their whole ethos. Then what am I spending my time for you for because this Clout score obviously means nothing if I don't even get a basic perk that everybody else gets. And it's hard not to sound petty about it, but...
Oh, you sound petty about it.
I understand. I know. And I don't even really eat Subway, but whatever. It doesn't make sense. Like, why does someone who has a score of 20 get all these, get the perks, but someone who's invested their time in social media does not, when their whole ethos is you've spent time in social media to, you know, get your street cred or whatever, your clout, but, right. You know, you don't get what they say they're supposed to, what they stand for.
Well, now, what if I told you this? What if I told you there's a large company that has three letters in it, and their leading social media evangelist has put in a blog posting, this is IBM, saying that they want to look at paying their reps based upon things like their clout score. Could you see a company actually, because they want them to get involved with social media and social business, could you see them doing that? Paying an employee about it?
If the company... Yes, I mean, I can see a company using it as a measure of your investment and your ethos and your commitment to, you know, because if you're a community manager, that's your job, then okay, I can see where they can take that into consideration separately from whatever Clout does. Because of, I mean, by the by, on the side note, like they, you know, when they say you're an expert in. They said I was an expert in camels, and I don't know when I ever talked about a camel.
This is getting worse and worse.
I know. Like, I talk about things like fitness. I talk about things New Orleans. I talk about makeup. And none of those tags or subjects were ever in what I'm an expert in. But camel? I look through everything, and I know I don't talk about camels because I don't talk about animals. And I don't smoke, so it's not like the cigarette. So I don't know where they get that from. And a lot of people who there was a rash of that for a while. Like, what? When did I talk about a mustache? You know? So I don't know.
It seems like Clout is sort of, especially for business, it would be like telling programmers you're going to be paid more if you write more lines of code. To some people, that sounds like a good idea. To programmers, it's clear that writing more code is a really bad way because you do things more inefficiently. And
yeah,
so
it's sloppy.
Yeah. Any ranking that is based on volume and even retweets and things, like, there are clearly ways to game Clout. And any time when you put a number on something and have a leaderboard or have a way to track your progress, it's nature for people to want to figure out how to improve that, regardless of whether or not what you're saying is more interesting to people or more important. For me, I don't really care if your Clout score is high or low. If I like what you're talking about, I'll follow you or pay attention to you. And if you don't, I don't really care. And I just don't find value from it as a individual user or in deciding who to follow on topics. I'd rather sort of pay attention to them, right? Like, I don't really care how many books you've written as an author if the book I'm looking at isn't interesting to me.
I just happen to laugh because I'm looking now at the perks I'm available for. And apparently Jillian Michaels thinks I need to get their 3-month subscription to the Slim Down solution. If I slim down anymore, Caleb and I will disappear. It's just impossible. So I find these and I see Empire Avenue now and I see people saying, you know, are you generating money? Are you getting influential there? The only people watching it, I'm finding, are the people that only participate in it. The general population that reads your feeds, reads your blog, and follows you, they're not on these sites. They sign up maybe because you sign up, but they don't care.
No, exactly. I didn't even jump on the Empire Avenue bandwagon. Didn't even bother.
Well,
and it's that, like Empire Avenue. It seemed like it was a lot of effort. Also,
its involvement. Robert, you in either one of these?
I'm on Clout, but I never ever check it. I really don't care. I think for me, even when it comes to professional relationships, I'm much more interested in the one-on-one interactions you can have, or kind of the brainstorming and mind melts. I'm much more interested in the personal connections than this person's saying something that I should be following. You know, it's a disconnect for me to inorganically find people to connect with, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it totally makes sense.
Yeah, I don't find any way to really follow people or connect on Clout anyway, which is ridiculous to me. I mean, I don't see any value in it. You go to the page and look at it, and I go, it doesn't do me any good.
Right.
I mean, I can give you guys a plus K because you're awesome people, and that helps your scores, but I just don't ever see a value, anything more than that. That's all I see inside of it, is that part. And then let's see who just pinged us on Skype while we're talking. Miss Sarah Perez.
Awesome.
Well, we'll see if she wants to get on.
Or not.
No, big deal. So go ahead.
As far as a company using a Clout score to measure their, I suppose they probably would incorporate it into an employee review. It's a tool. It's some kind of gauge, because we all know social media is hard to gauge, you know, and get hard numbers for. I can see using it as a tool, but I definitely do not see it as being a end-all be-all.
I don't see it either. But I also don't see it as something you could grade somebody on, because who do you compare them to? Do you compare them to other employees or in the organization, or to people out in the world that do things like you and your score? Most employees at a company would get blown away, and how would that help, right? Wouldn't it be a comparison between just employees and the company?
Well, ideally, it would be a measurement against their job description and what their goals are. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially if they're obviously going to be some sort of community manager role or a social media strategy role, if they're going to take their Clout score into account of their performance. But it is definitely not just because corporate wants, they always want a hard number. And okay, you know, when Clout first started, they had some good algorithms, they had some good charts, they had some, you know, they had a good starting point, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do not think that it's a measure of what they're actually doing. It's a measure of how they're doing it, I guess. But it's so nebulous, because this is all very subjective. And yes, do you compare it with the other employees? Like, why would you compare, you know, your community manager at IBM to their coder who doesn't really have anything to do with it? So it's an interesting concept, but it definitely needs to be more thought out as those details. Like, well, is this score in comparison to what? Like, what's the context? So
exactly. And we are going to get a hello from Miss Sarah Perez, only because she's actually awake and wants to say hi to everybody. So we'll drag Sarah in if she answers here real quick. There she is. Sarah, hey. Are you there? Hey, how are you?
Hey, you can hear me. Good.
Crystal clear for once. That is beautifully clear. So amazingly clear. Do you have any hot topics since we just threw you in the mix real quick? Do you have anything you wanted to talk about? Because, you know, everyone should know you've moved over, right, from the last show. You went over to, TechCrunch, right?
Yeah.
And you've been writing amazing stories as usual across the board.
Thanks. I guess you guys have talked about the Facebook timeline already, huh?
Well, give us your opinion. Robert beat it up early in the show, but I know people would love to hear your take on it.
Well, I sort of beat it up a little bit today with a post about the banner photo that goes across the top.
Okay.
I found this this new website that has, you know, a bunch of banners you can choose from. And of course, it's like your traditional wallpaper site. So there's like nature photos and car photos and photos of celebrities. And I mean, but it's starting to delve into a very like junky looking design territory where, I mean, next thing you know, it's going to be like, oh, I've got Jersey Shore across the top of my Facebook profile. I've got Justin Bieber. I've got, you know, some really hokey saying, you know, or stupid phrase or some dumb cartoon. And the size of the banner, it's so large that if it's not a really well done professional photo, I mean, it's going to end up looking kind of stupid. and people are going to put funny things up there, jokes up there, and crude stuff up there, and, you know, bikini girls laying across cars and motorcycles. And, I mean, next thing you know, it's like feeling a little bit like MySpace. The thing I liked about Facebook before was that the design was very minimalistic and clean, and there was only so much personalization allowed, which some people don't like, but I thought was kind of a good thing, because when you had a lot of personalization, you have MySpace with
exactly
glitter text and flashing crap and music that auto plays. And I think that with the big banner, I don't know. I just think it's going to start looking really trashy around MySpace. I mean, Facebook.
Oh. Wow. You've already converted in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting take, because how many people, and let's, I guess we look at the, we got to get out of ourselves, the mass populace, would, instead of using a picture of yourself, would use a picture of a Justin Bieber, or, you know, you're going to use a non-personal type picture to do this.
Right. Exactly.
Wait, and you're saying Justin Bieber doesn't know who I am?
No, he doesn't. Not today. But now, you know, has he yobongoed, Caleb? Can you tell us? Is he a yobongoer? Has Justin Bieber shown up?
We're too cool for him still, but eventually.
Just checking. I didn't know. I didn't know, because you might get a big, you know, there might be some big names on your service that we should make sure we're, you know, in the right area at the right time. So
we're not launched in LA yet, so the celebs have to keep out for a little while.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. So, no, because I had a celebrity run-in coming back from Australia, actually, at the airport in LA, and it was from South by Southwest. It was Big Boy who did the concert down there, and he was on my flight, and humorously, I was, you know, at the airport, I'm four squaring, and I look, and I walked right up to him. I said, "So you haven't checked in yet?" And he laughed, and he took out his phone, and he checked in, you know, and we talked for a brief minute before the luggage got there. But with an interaction like that, he understands how the service works. He understands what to do, but the general person doesn't know what to do with any of this stuff. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is this timeline is going to catch a lot of people unguarded. And we're gonna have a lot, like you brought up a good point, Sarah, I never thought of, a lot of kids, their favorite rap stars, music stars, TV, you know, whatever, TV shows, Twilight. You're right. It could be very MySpace-ish eventually.
Well, the timeline in and of itself, I don't mind. In fact, I think it's really cool the way you can kind of go back and see your history and major life events, and the new buttons for adding major life events, like I moved or I got married or I had a baby or I changed jobs. Like, there's actual buttons for that now. That's kind of cool. So it turns Facebook into sort of a digital scrapbook of your life, which I don't know that everyone has really used it to that extent so far. And now that's a possibility. But it's just that one design change that I'm not on board with. I thought it was really cool how it used to have the little profile photos across the top where it would pull, you know, pictures of you. Because honestly, if I'm coming to somebody's Facebook page to virtually meet them for the first time, I want to see them. I don't want to see Justin Bieber or whatever thing strikes their fancy at the moment. And I realize a lot of people use pictures of their baby, you know, guilty as charged or whatever, but that's fine. At least it's a real person. It's not a cartoon or some crap that I don't want to look at.
Well, and you brought up a point. This puts the companies that do timeline-based services on edge, meaning the ones that did the scrapbook timeline idea. I never thought about that. There's a few partners that do it. I know Raven does it, a few others do it, and they write software that only lets you build digital scrapbooks of events and things that you input into there. They've pretty much jumped on that target market entirely in one swoop with everybody. Anybody use those at all? Any of you guys use that type of service where you actually built like some digital scrapbook timeline? No.
I used to work at a company that did that.
Well, I knew we were going there, Caleb. So, I mean, do you see that as, let's bring her idea, do you see that as a conflict with them, meaning a competition?
I think that the difference is there are people who like to create scrapbooks, and you're moving physical scrapbookers to digital is different than saying your moments that are in Facebook that you sort of forgot you'd put there. What happens when you make it more scrapbook-like, or, you know, just browsing it in an enjoyable way? Sure. So I think it's the apps that were in the middle that were like making these photo collages that would just automatically pull all your photos or interesting status updates. Those are the guys that would be, you know, more worrisome. But there aren't that many of those that are popular anymore because of all the changes Facebook did to damp down developers who posted stuff to your profile. But that's all coming back with a fury.
with a fury. All right, what are our last few big hot topics? We got about 10 minutes left. Go ahead,
Rob. Before we move on, I actually have a response to Sarah about this cover photo thing. I actually disagree with you, Sarah, and here's why. I think people will use that space to – the whole idea behind the timeline is so that you could take a view of somebody's life and find those things that are important to them. It's a snapshot and a continuous snapshot, you know, across a time space. And I think what you put as your cover photo is something that right now is important to you, right? So even though visually I agree in a sense that, yeah, it lends itself to be a little MySpace-ish, but if you're a huge Bieber fan, then having Bieber there actually makes sense to you and the people who are trying to get to know you and that are going to be viewing your timeline. So in that sense, I actually think it's a good thing, you know, that it's something that immediately people will look at and say, okay, this is something that's important to this person.
Well, I mean, the fact that, like, I mean, using the Bieber example, you know, to continue that. Yeah, I mean, of course it's important to the person, or they wouldn't put it up on the profile, or maybe they thought it was funny that day, so they put it up on their profile. But the thing is, your friends on Facebook, if they're your real life friends and not just a community of technical people who are exactly like you, then people are going to have different interests. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that people have different interests. But I mean, as you expand your network out to colleagues from work and people of different generations and all these, you know, a diverse group of humanity, then you're going to encounter people whose interests are wildly divergent from your own. And they're going to include, like, oh, I thought this really crude cartoon was hilarious, and I'm going to make that my banner photo today. And even though it's somewhat offensive to you because it uses bad words or it depicts, you know, religion and my religion in a bad way or whatever, now that's not just, you know, a small piece of their profile, it's a very large piece of their profile. So it's giving, so as you browse to their page, it's giving prominence to this one aspect of their personality that you don't particularly like. And I just think it junks up the experience. I don't see in any way, shape, or form where that is an attractive way to design a website. When we're coming from such a minimalistic space to something that looks like a personal blog, basically.
I think it lends itself to authenticity. And I think that's what Facebook is going after with the entire timeline thing. This is who you actually are right now. And if today I want to post something crude in that space, that's going to offend some people. Like, it's still authentic me being who I am, you know. So I actually think it serves a purpose, you know, but it begs a greater question is, you know, you have the ability as a user to control what's in that space. So it kind of begs the question, how much control are you going to apply to your own profile? How free are you going to be? How authentic are you going to be to the people who are your friends and subscribers?
Yeah, but where are you going to draw the line? Like, okay, first it's a banner photo. I mean, next, are they going to let you customize the background so it can be pink today instead of white? Are you going to change the font so that they're more bubbly to go along with your bubblegum colored banner profile? I mean, if once you start allowing a certain level of customization into a site so that people can personalize it and be authentic and make it their own, I mean, they're going to have to be very careful, I think, going forward in adding more and more customization elements. They were already talking about how they're going to let, you know, the apps kind of come back a little bit to the profile page, where before they had separated them off onto their own tabbed page. And you remember people were using like pieces of Flare and things like that, which sort of started to give Facebook profiles kind of a junky appearance. I mean, you go to someone's profile page and there are all these apps in the sidebar with little buttons and little widgets and things like that. And they made a conscious decision to say, no, we don't want to feature those on the profile page anymore. And they got rid of them so that the pages could stay clean. And now they're sort of reversing their decision and saying, oh no, let's let them customize the hell out of it. So I just don't know where their mindset is in terms of design. If they want it to be a personal blog site now, fine, let it be a personal blog. But like, let's acknowledge that some people are going to have poor taste and it's going to be not as an attractive experience.
Well, I can just say it explains why Robert's personal page has a new banner that's Justin Bieber. So it's all okay. I understand the fight. this whole fight now makes sense. It all is totally cleared up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out on your Bieber love.
I mean, what can I do?
So you can only start. Now, Wayne brought something up so we can make this the last topic. Wayne brought something up before he got disbanded from the call by using 3G. He brought up, of course, the new tablet, but not the Amazon tablet itself, but more about the Silk browser itself. Have you guys read up on this and what they're going to be doing with the new the mobile web browser inside of the new tablet they made, the Fire tablet?
I have not had a chance today. No.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Sarah did. She's, you know, that's just going to be on top of her thing. But so it's it's a new browser that's going to split the technology, right, between using the local tablet power as well as their cloud, the EC2, to call up certain elements of the page. So it's like a content delivery, more like an edge service would be, to speed up delivery right into the browser itself. But people are concerned also with security as well, to know where content's coming from, what's being served back to where, and then it's being stored on their servers. Would you guys see an issue with using something like that if you're browsing on your tablet and you knew that images and background could be stored out on the EC2 somewhere?
I'm much happier to have it be Amazon than Google.
Okay.
Very nice.
Amazon's business model is selling me stuff, and to the extent that they use data about me, it's just about me, and it's data that then serves up interesting results for books or products that I might be interested in. And, you know, so that silo is between me and Amazon. They get a very, very, very small percentage of their revenue from advertisers.
Right.
If Google was offering this to all of their Android partners, you can bet that the goal there is to understand more about people's browsing behavior. And I think that's probably one of the strategic reasons why it'd be very tough for them, is that would be a lot more data that, you know, they would be dealt with. And whether or not they'd actually look, people would be more nervous. So I think it's great for Amazon to do this because it plays to their strength of actually using EC2. And everyone's going to be asking, will Apple do this? Will Google do this? And put pressure on them and turn the focus away from Amazon, you know, is their movie selection is awesome or other things. You know, it's something that they can do probably uniquely well that these other guys can't. So I think it's pretty cool. I think if they want to do other devices, this will be very useful for them. If they ever have a 3G-enabled device, uh-huh, this opens the ground for this to actually be subsidized and, you know, go with their, you buy it once and you get 3G service. You know, that might not happen next year or the year after, but for them to be able to control how many kilobytes are actually being sent or megabytes being sent to your device, that's really interesting. I think it'll work really well based on some of the history with Skyfire. And there's this other app like Onto. Do you remember, Sarah? It's like that app that you install on your iPhone or Android and it, you know, squishes all sorts of data. Onero or Unero, I can't remember it, but there's another app that does this proxy thing, and I'd installed it at one point, and it was saving me a couple megabytes a day, but I just didn't need it. But
oh, I never used that, but I mean, it recalls Opera Mini, which sort of functioned as a middleman between the internet and the end user's device,
right,
in a similar way. And I think I agree with you on, in terms of, it's sort of less scary for Amazon to have this data than it is for Google because of how it's going to be shared or potentially shared, I should say. But I have to be honest, I'm a little cynical. I sort of think that if I'm browsing the internet, somebody somewhere has that data in a database and there's really no safe way to do it completely anonymously. Outside of using like proxy servers and like Tor or whatever.
Well, there's another piece, and I just found the page. So not only does it do some of the caching to speed it up, But this is the interesting part. From their director of software development, John Jenkins, that built the Silk browser, the browser observes an aggregate of your behavior across a large number of sites. So, like, for example, they give you go to the New York Times homepage all the time, then often you'll go to the business page. So their browser is going to learn your behavior and then guess where you're going to go and cache the page before you go.
It actually sounds really helpful.
Well, it sounds helpful. It's just interesting because now my question would be, are they able to then use this data to give you a better enhanced shopping experience inside of Amazon, right? Oh, I've seen you've been browsing all these pages and sites. Well, you know what? We sell these products that do that.
Well, hopefully it will, because quite frankly, Amazon's recommendations are not really that great anymore. I mean, at first it was really nifty that you would log into Amazon and see, you know, recommendations based on your purchases. But as you built up your history of buying with the site, buying this present for somebody's birthday and buying a present for your dad for Father's Day and so on, I mean, it has a completely warped view of what you actually like. So, I mean, yes, please delve into my history and serve up something useful. I'm for that.
What about you two? What about Robert, Liz? You guys haven't said much. Neither one of them. They've both gone home.
I'm pretty indifferent on this. I mean, proxy stuff has been around for quite a while. In terms of offering up, Amazon has never been right with what I like. So I agree with Sarah on this. I think it'd be great if they actually improved their algorithm using this technology, because I would love for them to offer me something that is actually valuable to me as a suggestion.
Are you guys going to get one? Anybody?
I'm thinking about it, but I really need to save up for the iPhone 5.
Okay. There's an easy out on that one. What about you, Liz?
Yeah. I might get one. I haven't converted yet to either a tablet or a reader. I like books. I'm kind of that person. But as far as like their split technology goes with that browser, it's definitely going to come into play, because now all the carriers are either throttling your data service or, you know, capping your data limits. So I do think it's interesting, that technology, but I missed all the announcements today about Amazon. So I will have to revisit that, and then
we'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We'll revisit that.
We'll give it a week. I'm torn. I don't know if I need it. It's one of those things I would look at as a review quickly just to see. It's $199, you know, a 7-inch tablet. Heck, it just popped up in front of me on the TV on the local news, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's making the local news. So there'll be people trying to get involved and get their hands on it. But I'm just curious as to it'll be a big play. And we're not going to worry about gadgets and stuff. We never really cover deep into the gadget world. So anything else? Any other hot topics? Did we miss anything? That was a silent, uncomfortable pause. Is that a no?
I don't know what else you've covered.
We covered timeline. We covered the tablet. You came on right after we did timeline and did the thing about clout. That's it. Clout. Reputation score. Did we look at your reputation score? Well, we're going to look at Sarah's while we're in here. We're going to look at your reputation score.
Clout.
Nice.
Oh, Sarah, I don't even want to hear it, because you and Miss 69 over there are just doing fine.
I don't even know what my clout score is.
68.
You're
68. It said that you were influential about technology, social media strategy, and social media.
Mm. Wow, it sounds like you should be on a podcast about that or something.
Wow.
Wow. Or, you know, have that be your job.
Look into that.
What did I win? Coupons for Subway or something.
Oh my God! See, this is what I'm going to ask Sarah. How many clout perks have you been eligible for?
Wow!
I don't even know and or care. I mean, it's so stupid. It's so self-centered, egotistical bullshit. I don't know. Whatever.
Totally is.
Yeah, I get that there's actually a potential business model in there somewhere. It's just. The concept I find just so icky, that we're grading ourselves on how awesome we are on all these services in so many different ways. I mean, it just seems like the most, God, build something that matters, please.
Well, you'll be happy to know that you're influential for a young lady that is influential about Boston money and being a bachelorette. So it's apparently, It's a good service. But you've connected everything, Sarah. You don't listen.
Boston.
I don't know. You've connected Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Foursquare, YouTube, Instagram. You've connected everything. So you've taken the time.
Testing it out, you know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I have a responsibility to try and use technology.
It's my job.
Okay, please find a service that I'm not a member of somehow.
Right, exactly.
Well, have you guys checked out the Clout, Clout, that measures your Google Plus activity?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Clout, they actually got that name? How is that possible? They even have that name?
I don't know, but they have.
Clout.com?
I don't know if it's .com.
Well, that's probably why. Wait, Clout. Member sign-in password. No, Cloud is for an airline, it looks like. That's an airline service. I don't think you have the right place there. We'll figure out what it is, though, but I don't think you have the right place.
It's called Cloud, and I remember, because when I saw it, I was like, is this even the right spelling? Because we've come so far in the web where, like, nothing is spelled quite right.
Correct. Nothing carries a vowel or can be spelled accurately, except for Yobongo.
Exactly.
Oh, I did have one more thing.
Yes.
What quick reaction to the Netflix Quickster split up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There was a firestorm of people terrible reactions to this, and I was curious what the saner panel thought.
Go, Robert.
I think it's a great idea. I think they should have done this years ago. I understand, you know, for the legal reasons why they had to do it. I personally, I'm all for it. I haven't played a DVD from Netflix in probably 3 years.
Do you have any still that you've checked out from them?
I know I do. It's somewhere in my closet.
We won't be discussing that.
Justin Bieber's last concert. All right. So, Liz, what about you, Liz?
I agree. Like, I have been on the most basic DVD plan because I'll get the DVD and I'll lose it, whatever. But I do use the streaming quite a bit. All I did was watch the whole Quickster Twitter craziness explode because they didn't check if the Twitter handle Quickster and it's like some stoner dude, whatever, blah.
Yeah.
So I basically just watched that. And then I do agree. Like, it's fine. Yeah, I think they should do that. They should just. If people want, some people are DVD people, and I'm super streaming, and I'm not one to complain if there's not the latest blockbuster right away. So I'm good. I like my documentaries. I like the TV shows, although I am worried about, them losing certain licenses with, you know, like a friend of mine just started watching Doctor Who and they lost their license with that company. Or whatever it's called. And then, so they had pulled all the Doctor Who, they've pulled all the Dexter, and I just hope that they can keep their content, their streaming content, at least decent.
What about you, Sarah?
Well, I mean, it makes sense from a business perspective, and I get that. It seems like it's pretty easy for them to separate the majority of their users into the two buckets. Either you are, like you said, a DVD person or a streaming person. From a consumer side, though, it's confusing because now if you do want to keep both services, you know, the queues are separated and things like that. You don't understand, like, how it all works together. I think it can come across as sort of a confusing thing. Wait, there's two Netflixes now. What do I do? How do I get both of them still? Do I have to sign up for a new account? I mean, I think these are the kind of things that are running through consumers' minds. And it does feel a little bit premature to force people to make that choice, considering that streaming catalog is still so far behind what's available in DVD and will be for some time due to, you know, the licensing issues with the media publishers and the movie studios and that sort of thing. And for me personally, I like having both options, so probably going to keep both services, Quickster and Netflix. So I'm not entirely pleased with having to deal with two, you know, kind of separate services now. But no, I think it makes sense for the business as a whole.
Well, then I'll do mine. And since Caleb, you brought up, I'll let you finish it. Easy enough. I use their streaming service. I actually bought a TV that has the built-in, you know, you plug an Ethernet cable and has built-in streaming of all that stuff. You can, you know, you can do the Vudu, you can do Netflix, everything. I didn't use the DVD service, but I was always disappointed that there was that lack of movies. But I think it's all strategy and competition. Blockbuster finally makes a statement. They're going to go after this type of market. Netflix says, great. But now Netflix has opened the door that they can now piecemeal and sell either part at any time. They don't have to worry about now that, you know, well, what if you just want the DVD service or we just want to go streaming? They've already split their consumer base and now they can sell either part at any time, anywhere. And I think build better licensing agreements. One of the fears was, is that because they had DVDs and streaming, they were working two agreements already. They had to go to the people and say, hey, we want to get your DVDs for distribution that competes with Redbox and some Blockbuster stores are left and a couple others. But we also want to be able to stream content. And I think they got them in a lot of trouble of when it would be available. You know, now it's separate. It's two separate agreements for them. So I think it's the same price for consumers. Yeah, there's no migration path yet, like you said, Sarah. No one knows, you know, do I need another account? Is it going to be one bill? Am I going to get two bills? You know, how's it going to work? But I think in business sense, they've opened the door for themselves to be able to expand a little bit further. So, Caleb, you brought it up, so we'll let you finish with it.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything everyone said. I think there was a lot of overreaction to the news and a lot of snarkiness around the name and whatnot, and that's fine. And, you know, it sort of reminded me of the iPad. There's a lot of bad stuff about the iPad name, and we don't really care anymore. You know, people get used to it. But I think you're right. I think that the business aspect is really important, that the DVD side of the business was not growing very quickly, and any price changes they made were actually affecting that side of the house a lot more. So to be able to have a much smoother and faster growth rate for Wall Street will be beneficial for them, because they need that premium, they need that ability to go out and make those big deals. And the other piece is that I think they will need to at some point have streaming plans that are tiered. And as much as they don't want to do that, the agreements have already, I mean, Starz already leaked that, like, the reason they fell through from their perspective was they wanted to do different levels of sort of quality. And to have a DVD plus streaming plus premium streaming was going to get really, really confusing. And so I think it just sort of is a harbinger for the DVD business is falling away, and we want to be able to put our best people on streaming and not have to have any internal politics about which thing gets the front page, which ads do we run, all of these things. Streamlining what they do will most likely help them be more clear with people what Netflix is about.
Well, it's a good roundup. So we covered a lot of ground this week, Oyana. I'm glad all of you joined in eventually as we got going along the thing. So Caleb, yeah, well, no, it's normal. So Caleb, tell them anything you want to tell them, or to find you anything new on Yobongo. What do you want to tell them? I know it's Caleb Elston everywhere, but what do you want to say?
Yep, just Caleb Elston anywhere. And we are hard at work here at Yobongo, and we've been working heads down for the past couple of months on some new stuff. So if you signed up on the beta list, you may be getting an email pretty soon.
Excellent. So should they follow you where? On Twitter, Caleb Elston, of course, follow
Twitter,
Yobongo.
Caleb Elston is great.
And everyone, follow Yobongo and get in touch with them if you need it. What about you down there, Mr. Murray?
It's Robert Murray on pretty much everything.
Any big
news? I'm just relaxing here in Austin. I actually started a job, a couple weeks ago at Mutual Mobile.
Oh, very nice.
So that's the only real big development other than riding around on my bicycle.
Oh, okay. Well, that's healthy. So we'll be seeing you. I know, another 6 months probably down South by Southwest since you're down there now and everything else is good. What about you, Liz, since you were next in line?
You can find me on Twitter, Liz_money. And
the underscore is important. I should point that out to everybody. There is another one that's all together.
Yeah, there is. And that was my old account, but it got deleted by accident. So whatever.
Okay. So because
jokes
she has a low, she has a low clout score. Just letting you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, she does. and that's where I'm most active is on Twitter. So that's fine.
And then Sarah.
Sarah in Tampa on Twitter.
Yeah.
All one word.
And on
Sarah Perez on TechCrunch.
Yep, Sarah Perez on TechCrunch. Everyone should know she's writing over there at TechCrunch, been doing awesome articles and awesome work there as well. Everyone knows mine, hopefully, is I Do Notes on freaking everything. Hey, for all the people listening to us out there, as Caleb knows, I'll be out in San Francisco here in a few weeks. So hopefully I can catch up with some of the companies and startups or whoever's out there. Just send me a note and let me know. Otherwise, that's it. We finished another Social Geeks. If you guys want to hang on, you can. Otherwise, everybody else, we will talk to you guys in just a bit.